Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we learn how employers can support our troops before, during, and after deployments. And we hear from the Employment Resource Team, who recently traveled to Kuwait to help our returning Red Bull soldiers. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
I am pleased to announce that the Minnesota Army National Guard has received top honors from the National Guard Bureau for its Environmental Management Program. The Environmental Quality Award recognizes the efforts of the Minnesota National Guard in protecting human health and the environment. I am proud to report that our environmental team has repeatedly demonstrated environmental excellence. They have been singled out as a national leader for their accomplishments in all program areas, from planning to execution, in both fiscal years 2010 and 2011. One of the six key objectives of my campaign plan for the Minnesota National Guard is to advance an environmentally sustainable infrastructure. This includes all facets of our operations, from building standards to protecting and enhancing the lands that our soldiers and airmen train on. The environmental team has embraced this objective and is clearly doing an outstanding job. I am proud of this Environmental Quality Award and proud of our Minnesota National Guard team.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The ESGR, Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, is the Department of Defense agency that develops and promotes a culture in which all American employers support and value the military service of their employees, especially those serving in the Guard and Reserve Forces. Joining us now is Paul Montine, the chair of the Minnesota Committee for ESGR. Paul, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Paul, can you just explain to us briefly, ESGR, Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, what do you do? What's the purpose?
Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve has basically five tasks. One is to educate. We educate the employers as to their rights and responsibilities. We also educate the reservists, members of the National Guard and Reserve Forces, as to their rights and responsibilities. Secondly, we award and reward employers who fulfill or go above and beyond the requirements of USERRA, the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. We mediate problems between employers and employees who are members of Guard and Reserve units. We assist with the deployment mobilizations and demobilizations of reserve units as they're going over and coming back from overseas. And we help them find jobs. If they come back without an employer, we help them find a job.
Paul, you've been on the show, and we've talked about ESGR several times, but I haven't dug into your background too much. I'm curious what it takes for a person to be eligible to be the chair of the Minnesota Committee of ESGR. I understand that you serve at the pleasure of the Secretary of Defense for Reserve Affairs.
I do. And It is a matter of, first of all, having an interest in it. Secondly, being nominated for the position. And third is to get the attention of the Secretary of Defense, I guess. I was asked if I was interested. I put in a cover letter in my resume, and they tapped me on the shoulder in May of 2008. There are a diverse background of people who serve in this capacity, and there's a diverse background of people who have served in this capacity in Minnesota. Denny Shulsted, Brigadier General, U.S. Air Force Reserve, was my predecessor. Terry Quigley, a enlisted person in the U.S. Army was his predecessor. Dr. Stan Sahlstrom preceded him, and Chris Wright, who served in the British military, preceded him. And, of course, our first was Jim O'Brien from Stillwater.
Paul, you passed the quiz. Now, I understand you were a member of the United States Marine Corps.
I served 18 months in the Corps in an enlisted position.
And you've also been involved in law enforcement for some time.
I left the service of the United States on Friday, and on Tuesday I was a cop. So that took place in 1970.
Charge full speed ahead.
22 years in Brooklyn Center and another 8 in Crookston, Minnesota.
And Paul, I understand you're in your second 3-year term now as in the position of chair of the Minnesota Committee of ESGR.
I am.
Can you tell us what that entails? What do you do as the chair?
As the chair, I kind of serve as a figurehead for the organization. I go out and do a good deal of public speaking, but I'm also responsible for the implementation of the strategic plan of ESGR within the state. So I administer 135, give or take, volunteers, and I have a staff of 3 that accomplishes the goals of ESGR for Minnesota.
We're speaking with Paul Montin, the chair of the Minnesota Committee for ESGR on Minnesota Military Radio. Paul, on a day-to-day basis, what does ESGR do? How's your team and your volunteers occupied? How do you take care of employers? How do you help service people?
One of the things we do is we go out and inform, especially the employers. One of the basic tools that we use is we go out and ask them to sign a statement of support. Statement of support simply says we recognize and value our service members. We will employ Guard and Reserve members. We think that this is an important gesture on our behalf, and we're willing to accept the fact that it's does create some difficulties for our organization. They sign this statement of support, and then they can display it at their place of business, Culver's, Home Depot, Best Buy, 3M are all people who display it proudly.
So part of what you do is help those employers understand what the service members' rights are in terms to their job if they are deployed and
right.
Come back.
Correct. And then we also have a volunteer member, assigned to every armory and every reserve unit in the state so that they are responsible for twice a year educating the reservist as to their rights and responsibilities.
So if the reservist is deployed and say they were deployed with the Red Bulls and they're coming back home now,
right,
they've got some rights to their old job under certain circumstances.
Under certain circumstances. First being they have to leave with an honorable discharge. Secondly, they have to report to their employer that they want their job back within 90 days of the time that they leave military service. Now, the people who are returning right now have about 90 days on the ground, boots on the ground here, to use up leave and to go through their medical and their deployment thing. So, in fact, it's not 90 days from the time they get back. It's 90 days from the time they get out of the service until they get their DD-214 in hand. Then they tell their employer, I want to go back to work. And then it's the employer's responsibility to promptly reinstate them in the position they would have filled had they been there in continuous employment.
With certain rights along with that.
Absolutely.
Now we just got about a minute, and we have to go to a break. These returning guardsmen, these soldiers coming back, Red Bulls, mm-hmm. They've been through quite a year over in Kuwait, and the logistics of moving those people halfway around the world, feed, water, equipment, ammunition. I mean, the things that they've done in the last year make them much more valuable employees than
They're tremendous employees. For one thing, they're drug-free. We know that. They're leaders. They've all got leadership training and qualities. They're in physically tremendous condition, and they've proven that they can be good employees. They'll show up when they're supposed to be there, and they'll work 5 days a week without complaining. They know how to show up on Saturday and Sunday as well.
And when you're in a combat zone and you're escorting all of those troops out of Iraq, you show up every day and you do your job despite the fact that it's dangerous.
Probably for more than 8 hours, and maybe you don't get a coffee break.
Makes it pretty easy to go back to work, doesn't it, Paul?
it makes it a vacation to go back to a civilian job.
We're speaking with Paul Monteen, the chair of the Minnesota Committee for ESGR. Paul, we have to take a short break. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been joined today by Paul Monteen, the chair for the Minnesota Committee for the ESGR, Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve. Paul, we ran through a little bit about what ESGR is and your position and so forth, but can we go into a little more detail on what are the employer's responsibilities and what are the service members' responsibilities to properly respect and each other and to come back to work?
Certainly. In 1972, when we went to an all-volunteer military, the U.S. government realized that they probably needed some protection for the service members, especially the Guard and Reserve members, and they wrote up USC 38, the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. Basically, this allows service members to participate in the military, voluntarily or non-voluntarily, allows participation in the service. It also requires that the employer promptly reinstate the individual when they return and provide them with the accumulated seniority that they would have had they stayed continuously employed. They get reinstated health insurance immediately, no waiting periods. They have the opportunity to train should they have either lost or missed some of the job skills that they need to continue at the level they were prior to their deployment. And they're protected against discrimination for their military service under all circumstances. Most employers have embraced this law, and we even have a number here in Minnesota that go above and beyond it.
And of course, Paul, since September 11th, 2001, the Minnesota National Guard, just as an example, has had repeated deployments all over the world, 35 different countries, thousands of troops out, and they're on their second, third, fourth deployments. So this issue of the employer's responsibility and the service member's responsibility has been first and foremost, hasn't it?
It has, and we're just proud here in Minnesota of the people, of the employers that have gone the extra mile for their service members. That includes we only have 17 U.S. Coast Guard Reserve members here in Minnesota, but you'd be surprised how many times they've been deployed, especially with Katrina and other situations that have happened. Our Air Force Reserve and our Air National Guard people are constantly on the move. Our Naval Reserve people, our Marine Corps Reserve, they're all out there. So we see a lot of employers and a lot of reserve component employees.
We've had them all on the show, Paul, and of course, everybody's thinking about the 1st Brigade Combat Team.
Oh, yeah.
2,700 went, and they're coming home now. But the Air Force Reserve, the Navy Reserve, the Army and Air Force, I mean, they're all going out just in smaller units.
They just go out. When you got to remember, we've got 21,000, give or take, reservists in Minnesota. 17,000 of them belong to the Guard and Reserve. That's a big portion of our service base.
And the servicemen have the responsibility to report back on time and
right.
In shape. And
the service member should give advanced notice to their boss as soon as they know they're leaving. Unless there is a national security issue that requires that they not tell anybody they're leaving. That has, to the best of my knowledge, never happened in the last, at least the last 6 years. So, the employee then has to come back and tell their boss they want their job back. They have to provide the fact that they served honorably. And then the boss should reinstate them promptly.
We're speaking with Paul Montine, the chair of the Minnesota Committee for ESGR on Minnesota Military Radio. And Paul, it's your job and the job of your people and your volunteers to help employers and service members sort through all of these issues and gracefully get back to work and get back into their civilian life.
Absolutely. We try to stress the employers keep us on speed dial. And if you can't get to us locally, you can always contact us at esgr.mil, our national website.
Paul, I know that I think we had you on last year, and you've got a big annual awards banquet. You said one of the five things you do is awards and reward employers. Your banquet is coming up on May 21st.
May 21st at the Sheraton Minneapolis Hotel West.
And what happens at the annual ESGR banquet, Paul?
We get about 350 nominations of employers every year for what we call our My Boss is a Patriot Award. We sit down and we take about 10% of those, and we look at those that really go above and beyond the USERRA requirements. And we select, this year we've selected 30 employers to receive an above and beyond award. And we have selected three more employers to accept the ProPatria Award. ProPatria is those who have really gone above and beyond. And these are the corporations who have been forwarded to the Secretary of Defense for the Freedom Award.
And last year, one of those corporations went all the way to the top, didn't
3M
they?
Went all the way to the top, and we enjoyed seeing them receive their Crystal Eagle.
So on May 21st.
May 21st at 5 o'clock, we have a social hour. At 6 o'clock, we'll have dinner. At 7 o'clock, we'll begin the program, and I almost guarantee we'll be out of there by 9:01.
9:01. We'll hold you to that, Paul. Now, are there still seats available?
There are still seats available. We do limit it to 450 tickets each year, and we normally fill the seats, but we still have some tickets available. This year's keynote speaker is Jim Rebholz. Jim is just a great guy who has served as our national chair. He's been to every one of our banquets, and we've never asked him to speak. So this year I said, this is your last chance. You're going to speak.
I think Paul Montine, the Marine Corps, retired Marine Corps guy, caught him in the corner. He didn't have a choice, did he?
He's an Air Force colonel. So
so you asked him nicely, Paul.
I asked him politely.
Now, if people are interested in attending this, who do they contact?
Best way is to get a hold of Chris Campbell. And Chris can be reached either at chris.s.campbell@usarmy.mil, us.army.mil, or you can call him at 651-282-4285.
And we'll have links to that at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Paul, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts about the ESGR and your banquet?
Not really, other than to stress the fact that ESGR is a great deal for the American taxpayer, because we're all volunteers that go out and do the job. Yes, we have three paid people, but the majority of the work is done by our volunteers.
Paul, you're doing a great job. Thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
This is Paul Montine, Field Committee Chair for the Minnesota Committee for ESGR. Let's visit this week's Supporter Troop Showcase and discuss what the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon campaign that asks, what's your Yellow Ribbon story? Holly, a volunteer with Cottage Grove Yellow Ribbon Network, shared her story with us last month. Holly writes, I was volunteering at a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon reintegration event when I overheard another volunteer, a former Marine named Dan, take a phone call from his wife. Her vehicle had broken down on the side of the road. The call for help was about to go out through the Cottage Grove Yellow Ribbon Network when I told them that my husband would go over and see if he could diagnose the problem. My husband was able to diagnose it and had access to the machine he would need to do the repair. This was the deciding factor. Yes, we could help. We got the vehicle towed to our house, and my husband was able to complete the repairs. Shortly after, a very shocked and appreciative Dan and his wife picked up their vehicle. We told them, this is what we do. We reach out and help others in need. Thank you, Holly, for sharing your Yellow Ribbon story, making a commitment to helping service members and their families and going beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Tell us your Yellow Ribbon story at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, united to bring service members all the way home. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll hear from members of the Employment Resource Team who recently traveled to Kuwait to help our returning Red Bull soldiers. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. In this segment, we will hear from the Employment Resource Team who recently traveled to Kuwait to help our returning Red Bull soldiers. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
I want to take some time to thank the folks who have made this show possible. Without their support, we wouldn't be here now. A huge thanks to Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 and Clear Channel for allowing us the opportunity to be on the air and for making the Minnesota Military Radio Hour possible. Without their support, we wouldn't be able to share all of the great stories and information that we do. Their involvement beyond the show has been outstanding, and we cannot thank them enough for that. I would also like to thank the show's first affiliate, Q92 in Little Falls, Minnesota. Lastly, I'd like to thank Tom Lyons, our show's host and fellow Vietnam veteran. Without his dedication and vision, this show wouldn't have happened. Minnesota Military Radio Hour has been on the air nearly 17 months, and I've truly enjoyed being a part of it. I look forward to all the great things to come.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is Jim Finley, the Director of Veterans Employment Programs for the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, and Chris Hill, the Director of Recruitment for U.S. Bank Human Resources. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Finley, I understand you put together a team, or you were part of a team, that recently traveled to Kuwait to talk to members of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. Who all did you put together, and why did you go over there?
Well, I'd love to take credit for that, Tom, but actually that was the National Guard and Major General Rick Nash, the Adjutant General in Minnesota.
That'd be the boss.
And this all kind of came out of an interagency working group that's been meeting since May, actually about the time that they left last year in 2011. And our goal was to make things different for this group that came back than it had been for previous soldiers or service members that had come back. Particularly during the economic issues we had 07, 08, 09. So the group's purpose was to provide some training and some tools to make these soldiers competitive when they came back.
And the big issue was your anticipation is that a lot of them that are returning, hundreds, are going to come back to no jobs.
Right. In fact, some left with no jobs because of the way the economic conditions were when they left. A lot of them didn't get jobs before they left because they didn't want to start something that they felt they couldn't finish. There are soldiers who have been laid off since they were deployed. Their businesses either went out of business or they had large layoffs that they were caught up in. So we knew the issue was going to be large. We were trying to focus on the group of service members or soldiers that were actually coming back unemployed or underemployed.
Jim, we took the show over to Kuwait and visited with the 1st Brigade last November. It's a long way over there, isn't it?
It sure is, and I enjoyed those shows. I think I found a pair of your socks over there.
I hope you didn't try them on.
I did bring them back for you.
Well, you can keep them, Jim. Tell me about the team. You had some great expertise with you.
We did. In fact, besides having two associates from Deed with me, Ron Kellen and Grant Hino, there was also Gina Sabanya from Minnesota State College and University System, Tony Tingwall from the Higher Education Veterans Program over at Veterans Affairs, Dick Daniels from the State Chamber. There was also three corporate executives, which really brought HR executives, which really brought a new dimension to this whole thing. And I was partnered with Marvin Hamilton from Target. There was also Chris Hill from U.S. Bank, who's on the show here today with us today, and then Bruce Kiefer from Best Buy.
And you forgot the chaplain was with you, too.
And Chaplain Morris and Major Krenz, which are both National Guard soldiers, and were the leaders of the group and took very, very good care of us.
Chris, that's quite a group of folks that you traveled to Kuwait with. What were your expectations?
Yeah, I was in great company, Tom. And headed over there, I didn't really know what to expect outside of the fact that there were going to be some long days and some opportunities to really connect with soldiers. And that's what I was looking forward to most. But, you know, really going over there and having an opportunity to sit down with these men and women that are serving our country and, you know, protecting our freedom was just an unbelievable experience for me to get to know them better. And I say this wholeheartedly, and obviously it's not an opportunity that everyone would receive, but you know, if a senior leader of an organization or hiring manager would ever have a similar opportunity to be able to do that, you know, go into a soldier's environment, work with them, see how they live and how they interact and how they conduct their business, it was eye-opening for me and just created a greater appreciation for our soldiers than before I headed over there.
Chris, I understand U.S. Bank was recently proclaimed a Yellow Ribbon Company, and you are a HR executive at U.S. Bank. What was your part on the employment resource team?
Yeah, U.S. Bank is extremely proud to have received that proclamation of becoming a Yellow Ribbon Company. We actually received the proclamation late in October, and we kept it under our hat until early part of January, simply because we wanted to make sure that we celebrated the fact. And in January, we had an all-employee event where over 62,000 employees are invited on one evening to join as a full group for large organization announcements. And this is what led our event off, was the proclamation of becoming a Yellow Ribbon Company. So first and foremost, from our chairman and CEO, Richard Davis, it's near and dear to his heart. And so when the opportunity came about for us to be able to send somebody from U.S. Bank over to Kuwait in a heartbeat, we said, yes, we'll do it. It's the right thing to do, and we'd be happy to sign up. So, you know, that's really what drove the opportunity to head over to Kuwait. And I am thrilled that it was myself that won out in a couple of arm wrestling competitions to be able to go over there.
And Chris, as the Director of Recruitment for Human Resources at U.S. Bank, was it your expectation to talk to a handful of soldiers and help them figure out how to fill out applications? What were you expecting?
Yeah, heading over there, we knew that we had a number of soldiers to reach out to. Over 1,000 soldiers was really our goal over a five-day period. And so, you know, we were very focused on that, and really it came down to what is the information that we can provide to them and what is their need. And I think every team that, you know, we had three different teams working throughout the course of the day with soldiers, and I think every team did a really good job of adapting to the soldiers' needs at that time and really giving them the information that they needed. So it wasn't the idea of, hey, we have this information, sit down, we're going to share it with you, and you're done. It was getting feedback from the soldiers throughout those courses and really understanding what they needed and really adjusting on the fly to their concerns and their needs. So a lot of it was sitting down and really talking to them about, hey, from a corporate perspective, here is how organizations and how recruiters will look at your resume. Here are some hints and tips that you need to keep in the back of your mind as you're starting to put everything down on paper. Here are some things that you need to understand about an application process within a large organization. And once you get to that point where you have an opportunity to sit down and meet face-to-face with a hiring manager, here's how you need to start preparing for that interview. And here's how you start to respond and build your responses to questions that organizations are going to be asking.
That was a mouthful, Chris, and a lot of soldiers to talk to over there. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking more with Jim Friendly and Chris Hill, members of the Employment Resource Team that recently went to Kuwait to visit with the 1st Brigade Combat Team. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been joined today by Jim Finley, Director of Veterans Employment Programs for the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, and Chris Hill, who is the Director of Recruitment for U.S. Bank Human Resources. They were both members of the Employment Resource Team that recently visited the 1st Combat Brigade in Kuwait. Jim, you put together an impressive group, or you were part of an impressive group. I keep wanting to give you credit for it because you're sitting here smiling. What was the mission? What was the expectation when you left and headed over there?
The goal was to make soldiers competitive. We explained to them that we are actually not in a position, or at least I was not. Chris and Marvin and Bruce are. But we were not going to be giving people jobs. Our goal was to make them competitive. They're competing against civilians that have been polishing resumes and practicing interview skills for the last year while they've been gone. When this group left, the unemployment rate in Minnesota was about 7.8%. When they're coming home, it's going to be about 5.6%. So this is going to be a considerably better situation that they're returning to than when they left. The original roster was about 550 that we were going to talk to. In the end, during the final tally, we had talked to over 1,000, about 1,080 soldiers. So we know soldiers were talking. We know that soldiers attended these events and saw some value in it. In addition to two workshops a day, we also did one-on-one sessions in the evening, and we all felt that's where we really provided some great value for these soldiers, because the corporate professionals, Marvin and Chris and Bruce, were able to sit down and really talk turkey with these guys, as Chris explained, about what they're looking for. My veterans employment staff are great subject matter experts on writing resumes and doing job search, but to get this information from corporate executives, they couldn't have paid anybody for.
So you guys, I understand that you put in some long days, you had some classes, and then after classes in the evening, you had some one-on-ones with the soldiers. How did it go? How did they react to this? Chris?
You know, for me, it was, I hope the soldiers got as much out of it as I got out of them, sitting down and talking to them, getting to know them. But, you know, I think they were craving the information that we were providing and really being able to sit down and work with them one-on-one. And part of it is just getting to know them a little bit more as an individual and what they're looking for when they do come back. And then starting to tailor the information that you're going to provide to them specific to their situation. And I think that's really what they wanted, and that's what they needed, is to be able to say, hey, how does all this information that I gained and learned through a four-hour session earlier in the day, how does it relate to my personal situation? So as team members of, and as a part of this ERT group, being able to work with these soldiers one-on-one in the evening times and really give them their specific situation, give them a way to draw out their skills and transform their skills into language that corporate professionals understand, and in a format that is easy for them to understand. I think that's what the soldiers were craving, and hopefully that's what they received during those one-on-ones.
We're speaking with Jim Finley and Chris Hill, members of the Employment Resource Team, who recently visited the 1st Brigade Combat Team over in Kuwait on Minnesota Military Radio. Jim, when the soldiers of the 1st Brigade are over there in Kuwait, they're operating as a unit. They're protecting everybody's back. They're doing things together. They're working as a team. When they come back and they're on their own and they're looking for a job, they've got to go do it themselves. What did you teach them? How did they react to this? Are they, or is it working? Are some of them getting ahead of the game?
They sure are. As a matter of fact, they have a team back here too, and it consists of veterans employment reps and people at Minnesota State College and University and the higher education veterans program. So Minnesota is very anxious to get these soldiers back. The fact of the matter is, since we've left Kuwait, we've been told, and again, this comes from the brigade commander, Colonel Kurska, that about 46 of these soldiers have already secured jobs. They've been using the techniques that they learned over there. They've been perfecting their resumes. They've been doing Skype interviews. And so just the fact that number of soldiers have been able to secure jobs, we see is a great thing and a great indicator of what's going to happen in the future when the rest of these soldiers get back.
So So this really was in reaction. Colonel Kurska asked the adjutant general for some help because he knew that a large number of his soldiers potentially would be coming home to no jobs. And, of course, a number of them are probably going to go to school as well.
That's right. In fact, the school thing is an interesting issue. About 50% of them, when just doing an informal poll during the workshops, about 50% of them indicated they were interested in school. Now, some of those will be full-time. A lot of them will be part-time, and they'll be looking for work at the same time. But, again, our goal was to make them competitive with the civilian counterparts that they're going to be competing against for these jobs.
Jim, I want to read just a short excerpt from an article about this trip, and it was a quote from our state chaplain, Colonel John Morris. And he says, what we need when we return are employers willing to mentor us to become productive citizens. Don't give us jobs, make us earn them. Don't enable us, empower us. And challenge us to come home and continue to defend the nation by becoming productive citizens. He goes on to say, I've been to war twice now with the Red Bulls. I've buried Red Bulls. I've knocked on the doors of families to tell them that their Red Bulls are not coming back. I'd tell Minnesota employers, I'm returning the best Minnesotans we have. That's really a strong message, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and we our greatest hope is that Minnesota businesses can understand this. The fact of the matter is soldiers and service members don't always make the best interviews. They are struggling with translating their military skills and abilities into terms that civilians can understand, not only in an interview, but also in resumes. So that was another one of our goals, to help them civilianize those resumes and the way they talk with employers. The fact of the matter is these soldiers make great employees because of some of the very basic skills that they learn in the military, and it goes beyond teamwork and leadership, which are obvious ones. They talk about the fact that they are used to, the U.S. military is the most diverse workforce in the world, so they're used to including everyone in the military. If you can do your job and do it competently as part of a team, it doesn't make much difference anything else, whether you're male or female or what race you are or anything else. So it's a great set of folks or a great group of folks for Minnesota business, and we're really looking forward to getting them home.
Chris, we're just about out of time. Any last thoughts on your trip with the Employment Resource Team?
It was just a wonderful experience, something that I know U.S. Bank was very proud to be a part of, something that I personally came back from the trip with a great newfound respect for what our soldiers do. And growing up in a military environment, you know, when I was a young boy, it gave me an even stronger appreciation for my father's service and really what our veterans really do for our country, and being able to employ them and how important that is. It's just as strong of an initiative as they're coming back to be able to get them in the jobs. They are our next leaders of this great country.
Thanks, Chris. Jim, for our employers out there listening, where do they go?
Actually, for employers and for veterans looking for a job, we've tried to boil this down to three easy steps, and it all starts at positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. On that site, employers are going to be able to find three easy steps to hire veterans. Veterans or service members who are looking for work will find the same kind of information. It amounts to employers going to minnesotaworks.net to post their jobs, and service members and veterans going to that same site to post their resumes.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
That was Jim Finley from the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development and Chris Hill from U.S. Bank, both members of the Employment Resource Team. And now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, joining us is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. Good morning, and thanks for having us on. It's a great time in Minnesota right now.
Doug, it really is. You know, we were over to Kuwait to visit the Red Bulls, and they've been over there a long time, and they're starting to come home. You guys are probably pretty busy.
Well, they have. You know, they started this weekend, Tom, coming back in, and it's a different process for us than the last returns we've done for them. Instead of entire units and companies coming home, and typically we'd pick them up the state line, we would escort them all the way to their hometowns. As they demobilize, they're getting on the next available flight and coming home. So it's a bit of a different process for us. So we've changed up our approach. We're actually greeting the buses right outside the air wing. We're gathering at the Metro Transit commuter lot on the intersection of Highway 62 and 55. And we have flag lines set up there for the buses as they come through. And escorting them to the first stop on the bus route. So I think it's worked out pretty nicely. You know, we just adapt, improvise, and overcome. But it's so awesome to see them come home. So we really enjoyed it. So we're telling everybody who wants to participate in the Red Bull Returns, go to our website, www.mnpatriotguard.org. And if you click on the left-hand side, it says the mission calendar, and it's got all the updated information for each mission. We're only getting, 24 hours at best notice about the mission. So we're not sending emails out. We're just telling people, make sure you go to the website, look what's going on. And we encourage anybody in the public. It's, we're certainly welcome to anybody. Grab a flagpole, come home, see these Red Bulls come home. We're pretty proud of them and happy to see them all come back. And this is a deployment where they had no losses, Tom. So it's doubly sweet for everybody right now.
And once again, eligibility to become a Patriot Guard rider?
Any citizen who has some patriotism in their heart and a 3x5 flag on the pole goes to our website, www.mnpatriotguard.org. Click on the left-hand side, says join us. You do not have to be a veteran, and you do not have to ride a motorcycle. You just have to be a patriot and willing to put a little time into saying we appreciate what you're doing.
It's all about honor, dignity, and respect. And, Doug, we're just about out of time, but you've got your annual Patriot Ride coming up. What's the website for that?
www.thepatriotride.org, all one word, and we want 5,000 motorcycles this year, Tom.
5,000 cycles, and I believe that's June 16th, and we're even going to have record a segment of the Minnesota Military Radio up there and watch you get ready.
We're excited to have you guys there, Tom.
Doug, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
That was Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard Riders. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Paul Montine, Jim Finley, Chris Hill, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we learn how you can fly in a World War II bomber. That's next Sunday morning at 7 or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.